Today, we're on the third month of the year-long curriculum that was designed for the youth and family ministry of United Church of Religious Science. And this month, we're talking about prayer. And this particular segment of the month, we're talking about Thanksgiving. In the five-step prayer of religious science, the first step is recognition, that is, God is. The second step is unification, I am that. The third step is, and therefore I know this truth about my life. The fourth step is, that being true, I am grateful. I am grateful in my life, I give thanks. And the fifth step is release, letting go. And so this particular week, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and release, allowing ourselves to be grateful and to let go. As Phil was talking about earlier, that sense that God already knows, the path is already there, we get to follow our guidance into an exquisite life that is beautifully unfolding for us. And the level of our consciousness is the determinant as to where our life unfolds, whether we're in harmony with hearing our guidance. And to talk about that today, the basic tenet of science of mind is that there is only one. There is only one God. There is only one mind. There is only one heart that God is. And we are all a part of that. We are all the expression of that. And so as I think with my mind, I am thinking into the wholeness of the one mind of God. And the thinking that I do is creating in the same way that the mind of God created the whole universe. That the thought of God manifests as physical reality. And that we are that divine stuff, and our thought then manifests as physical reality as well. So if we want to change physical reality, we need to change the way we think. And the way we change the way we think is to change the focus of the thought that we have in our consciousness. And so if we are focused on that which doesn't work, if we are focused on the pain, the disease, the suffering, the difficulties, the problems of life, then we create more of that. Whereas if we can find a way to focus on the things that are working and amplify that, if we can find a way to think about situations so that we focus on solutions rather than problems, we are utilizing the mind of God in a powerful way. And one of the points that Ernest Holmes made that is so simple and clear is that if you're thinking about something positive, you are not thinking about something negative. So if you want to shift the percentage of your attention spent on things that are useful to ponder as opposed to not useful to ponder, you just want to amplify that tendency to think on things that are beautiful, think on things that are lovely. And so finding ways to do that is a powerful part of our practice. And one way we talk about doing it a lot is by doing meditation. Because if you stop thought, then you're not thinking negatively. And sometimes, I don't know if you have this experience, but sometimes if I get caught up in a problem, I can think more and more and more negatively and take the negative mindset that I have about this problem and apply it to a whole lot of other things in my life. And all of a sudden, from saying, which I do most days, I love my life, all of a sudden I find myself saying, I'm afraid of this, this isn't working, what is going wrong? And I get caught up in that confusion about what's happening. And it's not always easy to move from a worried place into a place of love and appreciation. So it can be very helpful just to stop the train that's going in this direction in order to turn it in another direction. So we find that little space in our day of peace in some ways. And we don't have a particular kind of meditation that we recommend in Science of Mind, because everybody finds their own way. And we believe there is that within us that knows. And that if we experiment with life, that's the science of mind, the experimentation with life, we will discover that there are many perfect ways for us to do what we want to do in quieting our mind in different times. So you might discover that you love walking meditation. You might discover that you really enjoy a focus on breathing. You might discover that you love chanting or drumming or music. There are many, many different ways people meditate. And some people meditate by cooking. Some people meditate by painting. There are lots and lots of different forms of finding a space of peace and quieting the mind. So I am not suggesting that there's one way to do this, but I am suggesting that you consider that meditation can be a very powerful practice. Because if you practice meditation on a day when everything's working well, it's easy. And you develop that wonderful habitual rut in your brain that takes you to that perfect place of peace within you that is always there. And then if that rut is practiced, if that is a road well traveled within your nervous system, you'll find it easier to get back there on days when it feels a little more chaotic in your life. So the practice of meditation is a very powerful part of training your mind to go in the direction you want it to go. So that's my first suggestion when you think about prayer and training your mind. That I'm talking about prayer really generally at this point, because all of our thoughts are prayers. All of our thoughts are going into the mind of God and returning to us as experience. And so as we begin to recognize that whether we know it or not, we are praying without ceasing. And some of our prayers are more like curses than prayers. And the definition in the dictionary, then we want to move more and more into those thoughts and focus of a thought that will be enlightened and uplifting and lead us into paths of greater joy. One of my all-time favorite books is this one called Sabbath by Wayne Mueller. Do any of you know this book? Have any of you read it? It's a remarkable book. The subtitle is Restoring the Sacred Rhythm of Rest. Rest. And what Wayne Mueller suggests is that our society as a whole tends to be sleep deprived and overworked, and that we do not take the time out to honor the Sabbath, which is a honored part of many religious traditions. And he talks about it in the context of many traditions. And keeping holy the Lord's Day as one of the Ten Commandments. And the idea of the Sabbath is that there is a time when you do not work. There is a time when you focus your attention on God and the things that are godly. And that you recognize that there is a rhythm to life. There is a time to work. And there is a time to rest. And allowing yourself to be without the hustle and bustle of daily life for a time tends to take you into that place of peace, to quiet the mind, to allow you to appreciate life. And I picked out a particular part of this book that really impressed me, because I didn't have this as a potential understanding before, and it woke me up when he said this. So let me share this with you. He talks about how people prophesied paradise in the end time, that the Messiah is coming and that it's all going to end and we're all going to be in paradise. And that end time prophecy is about living for the future. And then he says that in our society, we call our particular messianic prophecy progress. That gave me goosebumps. I thought, wait a minute. I don't see progress as end time philosophy. What is it? Prophecy, what is he talking about? And he said, when you are moving toward progress, progress is the road to the new and improved promised land. At the end of progress, we'll have peak efficiency, superior productivity, and an elevated standard of living. We will have mastered nature and all its problems. We will live in a place and time where all will be well, all diseases cured, all wars ended, with a chicken in every pot. We are on the glory road. We are hurtling toward paradise. There is no time to rest because we are on a very important mission to boldly go where no species has gone before. We never rest on our laurels. In fact, we never rest at all. Every moment is a necessary investment in the divinely ordained and completely unquestioned goal of progress. If the promised land is a good and perfect place, then where we are right now must be an imperfect place, a defective place. If the future is sacred, the present is profane. Every day we are alive, every day we are not yet in paradise is a problem. It makes our daily life an obstacle in our way. It is another day short of the end time. Today, because it is not perfect, is always by definition a bad day. But this is the alternative then. We must ask the question, what if we are not going anywhere? What if we are not going anywhere? What if we are simply living and growing within an ever-deepening cycle of rhythms? What if all the while we work, pray and love, knowing that the promised land we seek is already present in the very gift of life itself, the inestimable privilege of a human birth? What if this single human life that we are currently living is itself the jewel in the lotus, the treasure hidden in the field, the pearl of great price? What if all the way to heaven is heaven? We may see ourselves today and remind ourselves that we are already and always on sacred ground. The gifts of grace and delight are present and abundant. The time to live and love and give thanks and rest and delight is now, this moment, this day. Feel what heaven is like. Take a deep breath. Feel what heaven is like. Have a taste of eternity. Rest in the arms of the divine. We do not have miles to go before we sleep. The time to rest is now. We are already home. We are already home. When Mueller talks about the idea that the world is hungry for the generosity of a well-rested people, that people who feel relaxed are people that find their lives are already full and they have plenty to share. They have laughter to give. They have love to give. They have the embrace of friendship and support and abundance to share. And they invite others because they have plenty already. And the essential nature of thanksgiving is to recognize that we already have plenty. We are grateful when we see the plenty we already have. And we do already have plenty. Each of us in our own way, in our own life, is rich. Powerfully rich. We're rich in resources. We're rich in friendships. We're rich in love. We're rich in the experience of health. We are here in the richness and fullness of who we are. And to relax into that, to take the time to breathe and remember. Wayne Mueller is cynical enough, I guess, to recognize that most people that he talks to in American culture aren't likely to take a day off to celebrate the Sabbath. So he recommends Sabbath moments, finding that time within your day, every day, to come back to that place of peace. And the way I see it personally is an infinite well within me. And I've had the experience of falling into the well and recognizing that in that space, everything is fine. There is wholeness, there is goodness, there is grace, there is eternity. And all of this temporal activity, the chaos is on the outside, that on the inside there is tranquility and serenity and spirit. And from that spirit all arises, and to that place of peace all returns. And that the I am that I am is that place of peace. The ultimate being of me is that place of peace. And I am also expressing as Connie. And in that vision, I saw that I am also, from that I am place, expressing as everyone else. There is only one of us here, ultimately. The I am is the one of us that is here as the I am of each of us. And so we find that balance in each moment of each day between knowing the wholeness of all of it and allowing the specificity of this leading edge aspect of who we are, the physical aspect of who we are, the out there part that's playing this game of life today. And this life, from our universal perspective, this life is as good as it gets. This life is what we wanted. This life is why we were here and what we chose. This is where we wanted to be. And from this place inside of us, where we can see from that broader perspective, we can begin to get a glimpse of why this is so perfect and why we wanted to be us, why God wanted to express as Connie today. And every morning when we wake up, we can begin to cultivate that knowing that this is the day that God has made. And this is the day that I have made. This is the life that I have made with my mind and my thought and my being. And I can look around and be grateful for this day. I can be grateful for this life. And I can focus my attention, my prayer, my thought on all that is beautiful, all that is good, rising from this place of peace, knowing peace, living peace, being peace in our lives. We bring that essence, that quiet, into every situation we go into. And as we cultivate that in our personal life, we can't help but spread it around. It becomes who we are that carries with us everywhere we go. So Thanksgiving, what do we have to be grateful for? That's our activity today. We're going to do a meditation and begin a gratitude journey in our second half into the power of the love of our lives, moving into the love of our lives. Appreciation and gratitude is peaceful. Because it's already done, we're already home. So seeing all the ways we are already home and allowing ourselves to let go in the knowing that it's already done, we allow our lives to move forward with ease and grace and wonder, wondering what's around the next corner, wondering what the infinite nature of who we are has in store for us next. Life is good in that space. And I'm grateful to Wayne Mueller. This is the book I probably read more often than any other book except Ernest Holmes. The energy of what he says is so restful to me. It's like you don't have to accomplish something specific. You're done for today. Take a breath and look around you and declare it good and appreciate it now. There's so much to appreciate. And so it is.
Thank you.